So awesome. If you got your handouts with you this morning, the insert inside the handout is a scripture study that we'd like to look at. It really goes with the songs that Steve and Chuck and teams picked out this morning about practicing what we hear, about living it out every day, about letting the Lord's will be done in our midst. Would you consider yourself a lifelong learner? I mean, that's kind of the question about today, because the Proverbs speak specifically to issues, particularly about us being learners, about being open to God's wisdom, to His leadership, to what's true, what's right, what's best, what's God's will in our lives. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, He said several invitations. He'd say, come and see. He'd say, come and learn from me. Come and follow me. You know, eventually He said, come and die with me. Those calls specifically, we're looking at the ones that specifically say, come and learn from me. One day in Jesus' teaching, He looked over the disciples and the apostles and He said, you guys are weary. You're heavy laden. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and pressed down, heavy laden. He said, come, take my yoke upon you. And He said, and learn from me. That's really what we're talking about today. Discipleship, being a learner of what God has for us, of God's best for us. Now, obviously you're here because you believe that through God's word and through these Proverbs, there's an opportunity to learn and to grow. So you are to be commended for being in the position of a learner today, for being in a spot where God can use you to teach you lessons on learning. Lessons on learning today. Christ's example was that we would love God, He said, with all your heart. You guys know this. All your soul. What's the third one? All your mind and with all your strength. Catch that third one for a minute. How do you love God with your mind? Well, you be a lifelong learner. You be in the discipleship process. You never stop growing and learning what His plans are for you. I mean, just assess for a moment here. Do you love God with all your mind? Is your mind dedicated and devoted and specifically zeroed in and focused on growing in Him? That's the question. And loving Him with your mind. By the way, in the Old Testament that Jesus was quoting, the word mind is not in there. Catch that. This is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Jesus literally added, because it was in the Aramaic Greek language instead of the Hebrew, He actually added the word mind to the verse. Now, Jesus can do that. He's the Lord. You know, don't do that with your own verses. You know, when you're memorizing verses, keep them. But He had a very specific thing He was trying to communicate, and it's for us today. Love God with your mind, with what the gray matter is, with the brain God's given you, the space between your ears. But it's not just the brain, is it? Anyone can have a brain. We're talking about a mind. That's different than a brain. The mind uses the brain to think with, but the mind is so much deeper. The mind is the personality aspect. It has so much more than just thinking and calculating. It has to do with putting ideas together. Being a lifelong learner. Proverbs says it this way. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Walk in the way of insight. Leave the simple ways, and I want to show you something that's better. Live and walk in the way of insight. Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 5. We've already looked at this a little bit, but zero in on this again. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Did you see the focus on hearing? You know, he's saying there's got to be some opening up of the plugged ears. There's got to be an opportunity to hear wisdom. Have you ever tried to get through to a child, a teenager or something that you didn't think was listening? You're saying, hello, you know, Earth to Junior. Yeah, that's what King Solomon is doing with his son. Hear, open up your ears. Take some time and think, this is what I'm talking about. If you want to be wise and have a successful, joy-filled life, there's got to be a sense of learning involved, learning wisdom. The Old Testament concept of learning was to really dump, almost like we would say a data dump, but more experience than knowledge. Not just head knowledge. What they were trying to do was to give a young person experience. It's kind of taken that proverb we sometimes say, you know, about experience. You know, a wise man can learn from his mistakes, but a wiser man can learn from someone else's mistakes and doesn't have to make them. That's the idea of wisdom. Why do you have to make all the mistakes over again that the last generation made, right? He's saying a wise person tunes in and learns from someone else's mistakes. And that's what this book, the book of Proverbs, is really all about. It's gaining wisdom and having a heart for that and opening up our ears to hear. God's interested in our success in life. I mean, you think about all these things we've been through with Proverbs. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about parenting. We're talking about work next week. We're talking about money. All this stuff of everyday life. You go, is God interested in that? Yes! He fills his word with wisdom about mundane, everyday stuff. Because he's interested in our success and in our utilization of wisdom in our life. He wants our everyday life to be filled with his guidance and to have guidance along the path. Proverbs says, my son, hear my words. If you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Now that's the posture of a learner. I'm going to ask you today, is that your posture? Is your ear inclined? Is your heart inclined to listen, to drink in, to understand? What does it mean to have that? It's really about our attitude, isn't it? Attitude is everything. If you think you, quote, know it all, you're going to have a hard time. If you say, no, the Lord knows it all, I'm subject to his leadership. He says, you will then live. Look at verse 4, 1 and 10. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. You want to have a long life? You want to live a happy, fulfilled, joy-filled life? I call it a good, long, and blessed life. Listen up. Learn from others. Learn from God specifically and what his plan for you is. So there are four things I want to talk about from the learner's point of view. The first one is accepting instruction. Accepting instruction. If you are closed to instruction saying, speak to the hand, you'll never gain a heart of wisdom. You've got to accept instruction and listen to what God's leadership over you is. That's his best and obvious plan for your life. to receive. Well, that's really what it is, to receive His words. We call it hear, don't we? Hear the Lord's will. Hear the Lord's plan. Listen to the advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom for the future. Look at the opposite. Cease to hear, what happens? You will stray from the words of knowledge. If your life is going a poor direction, take note. God's given you different instructions. God's given you different paths for you to walk down and to walk on. Humbly accept or pridefully reject. In fact, the Bible talks about those that would reject. He wants us to receive His word. The second one is some will instead reject His word. They will not accept His word. Instead, they will do the opposite. The Bible talks about people with plugged ears. Have you seen a kid do that? Have you ever done that? I don't hear you. You know? And sometimes we do that with God. Well, I know He has a different thought, but I don't really want to hear it right now because I don't want to change. In fact, some people, they say they're open-minded, but you bring up God to them and they say, well, I don't want that right now. I thought you were open-minded. No, I don't want that right now. They're plugging their ears, changing the conversation, not wanting to hear. They're rejecting. In fact, that's the thing, the blank to fill in. Receive or reject. Reject is the one with plugged ears. You know the literal translation for fool? The literal translation for fool, oftentimes through the book of Proverbs, you know, we would say blockhead. Blockhead. A fool is a thick-skulled person. A person we say, you blockhead. That's kind of a Charlie Brown thing, right? Yeah, yeah. In fact, look at some of the translations if you put blockhead in there. Their minds are dull and they are closed. Verse 15 of chapter 12. The way of a blockhead is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You know? You blockhead, Charlie Brown. Proverbs 18:2. A blockhead takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. You know? Would someone look at you and say, you're a blockhead? Or would they say, no, this person has open ears and a soft heart toward God? You know? Peter talks a lot about soft-heartedness. He says, don't let your heart get hardened. And your heart and your head are intricately intertwined. A blockhead is a hardened heart. He says, don't do that, because you got to be open to God's will. Open to His plan. 2 Timothy 4 says, in this day, there's a day coming, he says, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions. Does that describe today? I want to hear what I want to hear. Don't confuse me with the facts, ma'am. You know? And we'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Well, he really predicted it well, didn't he? Yeah. We live in a day of itching ears. We live in a day when people go follow after the person that tickles their ears the most instead of saying, God's truth is what I'm interested in. God's word is what I want to learn from. God's path for me is the plan. You know, sometimes you got to ask yourself, what keeps us from listening? What keeps us from listening to the Lord and what His plan for our lives is? I ask myself sometimes, would you rather have a violation or a warning? Okay, so a cop pulls you over on the freeway. I know that never happens to anybody in here. It's never happened to me. Cop pulls you over. Do you want a warning or a ticket? We all want a warning, right? When he's coming back, when he's walking back. Not that I've ever experienced this before. But what are you hoping for? Oh, I hope he just gives me a warning. I was only 20 over. The limit. No, no, no. You especially want that when you're taking kids to camp and they pull you over and you've got all these impressionable young people. I hope it's just a warning. Especially when you're in a caravan and you're the only one that, you know, that got pulled over out of the whole caravan. I don't know why, but he didn't seem to be interested in that. So do you want a violation or a warning? Now, a wise person, I think, would say, I want a warning. I want another chance. That's what he's giving us. He's giving us a warning. He's saying, wake up! There's trouble ahead. Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Accept instruction. Take heed. This is the words of the Proverbs. It's words of warning. He's trying to warn his son so he doesn't go off the path or get into trouble or get thrown into the clinker. That's the warning that he's expressing. Don't be a blockhead. Well, think about this kid for a minute. You maybe have seen this. It's kind of how sometimes I think God might see us. You know, if God's trying to get through to us, just think for a moment, if God was looking down on you, would he see this? Have you seen enough? He goes on and on. But Linda, Linda, honey, honey, honey. Where'd he hear that, right? Oh, boy. But you think that God might look at us with the same kind of view, and we're saying, but Lord, I know a different route. Oh, but Lord, I know you've been telling me this, but I've got a different plan for my life. I'm going to go my direction, my way. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, where I want, and how I want. I don't really accept your instruction. I mean, his ears weren't physically blocked, but they were blocked, weren't they? Was he listening to his leader? You know, are we listening to our leader? You catch the point? A learner invites and accepts instruction into their life. Maybe here's a little list for us to think about. What can keep you from listening? Maybe you're too busy. Well, I'd never fix anybody, right? Being too busy with other important things. Jot that down. The tyranny of the urgent. You ever heard of that? There's too many urgent things, and I don't have time for learning what's really important. Don't take time for the important because the urgent has domination of my schedule. Talking so much about our own opinions and questions that we are never quiet enough to listen. I mean, that whole two-minute episode with the little boy could have been 10 seconds, right? He just listened. Okay, Mommy. Okay, Mommy. Satan's strategy is to keep us so busy and unquieted that we don't listen to the Lord. You know, that's his plan. He says, if I can't make him evil, all I got to do is make him busy. I got to make him so preoccupied and disquieted that they don't listen to the Lord. Number three, allowing our circumstances and feelings and personal experiences to instruct us rather than the Lord. Becoming stubborn, proud, or defensive when a sensitive topic is listed or is addressed. Number five, citing other authorities on a topic just to justify our unbelief. Well, you know, the scientific statistics are, and but what the Lord says, go by his plan for us, not our own. The learner not only accepts instruction, he adores instruction. So think about this. This is more the affection side of us, not just the unstopped ears so it comes into our life, but it's what do you do with it once it's in your life? This has to do with falling in love with God's word, falling in love with his instruction, with his leadership and his plan for us. I call it adoring his instruction. That's really what he wants for us, that we would adore and fall in love with his plan. If you call out for insight and raise your voices for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. What's your treasure? What do you put your value in? What do you collect? Maybe some of you collect coffee mugs, or maybe you're a little boy and you collected marbles or baseball cards or something. How many of you have a collection of some type? I mean, what he's talking about here is, would any of you think about collecting wisdom instead? Well, that's a bizarre thought. That's the thought of this passage. Put the high value in wisdom, in learning, in understanding, adoring instruction. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Put them in. It's just like Deuteronomy 6 says, doesn't it? It's a parallel passage. Bind them around your neck. Wear them as jewelry, almost. Or Jeremiah 31 that says, let your heart be soft and put these laws on your heart. I like this one. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. What delights you? What's your delight? Here's the psalmist saying, my delight is to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. You see, it's one thing to just be doing it because it's a duty. This is more your heart. This is more your affection. And you have control over what you love. You have control over what you give your heart to. You have control over what you do. I love it when I go to a teaching or a conference or something like that, and here I am kind of going through my mid-50s, and I see this saint come in, this 80-year-old Bible teacher, you know, and he's carrying his Bible, and he's carrying his notebook, and he sits down, and he's ready to be instructed. I'm like, he could be teaching this class. He's been 60 years serving the Lord. Oh my gosh, I want to be that guy. I want to be a lifelong learner that says, oh, I love God's word. I just want to drink it in. Let God instruct us because it's our delight. Is it your delight? Is it what you live for? Drinking in, growing in, and grasping God's word. And we're really, really blessed around here to have some folks like Rita, who's not a teenager anymore. You know that, right? But to say, I'm never going to stop learning. For her to be open. Is she out of the room for a moment? Okay. You know, so while she's out, don't tell her I said this. But I think she's a good illustration of drinking in and hearing. She unstopped her ears. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. That's all that happened. She just heard on a regular basis God's word, and her heart began to have faith in Jesus. The Bible says, how can they believe if they don't hear? How can they hear if they don't have a teacher, someone instructing? Yeah. She heard, she believed, she repented, she confessed. You heard her confess Jesus before you. And she was immersed. And now, you know, for Rita, this is really just the beginning. It's not the end. Well, you know that. Baptism's not an end in itself. It's just an initiation. Yeah. Rita, come up here for a moment again, if you don't mind. I've got something for you. In fact, Bev, do you got a little thing for her too? Oh, you did. Come here. You already opened it. Yeah. What is it?
It's a beautiful Bible.
You know, the team wanted to get her. Yeah, it's pink. Look at Arnie, got it right with the dash last name and everything.
Wonderful.
Just to say, we're proud of you. This is just a certificate to say, that's not the end. Mm-mm. It's just the beginning. Yeah. It's just the start of a journey of the discipleship under Jesus, where he said, come and learn from me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We love you. I want to call Don up here too. Go ahead and sit down. Don, it's been a summer or two here. But we never got this to you before. You're not a spring chicken either, are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the best, I still call him absolutely man, because absolutely. The day I took his confession of faith right here on this platform, I said, do you believe that Jesus is Christ? Before I even got the words out, he said, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And basically, he just kept saying that with each phrase. And then when I asked his son if he wanted to help me baptize him, you know what he said?
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know. So that's not on the certificate here, but...
thank you.
You bet, you bet. And we know that's... So you know, Mr. Dale and Mary, right. Frank over here, they called me one day and said, I got this friend down in Rochester, and I think he wants to become a Christian. I think he wants to get baptized. Could you help with that? That's like saying sick him to a dog. You know? And just like Rita, Don began to sit under some instruction, to get in his home and to get some time together about it. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, when you're open to God's leadership, change can take place.
It does. It has.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks to Dale and Mary and you and the whole church. It's just been wonderful.
Well, we're kind of saddened that you've moved so far away.
It's bad.
We're delighted, because what's going on in your heart doesn't matter where you're at.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah. Where are you at with God's instruction? Not only accepting it, but beginning to adore it. Adore it. You know, that's really the key for all of us, to be learners that adore instruction and that allow him to it. Here's some tests. How do you know if you adore instruction? First of all, are you reading God's word? How many of you read Proverbs 20 today? Today. You know, we're going by the day of the month for the proverb. Okay. Some of you are tracking. You still got some of the time of the day, and I won't ask about yesterday, the 19th. Okay? But our challenge for you right now is to take time and each day read the proverb for that day. 20th, the 20th, 21st, then the 21st, etc. Because there are the same number as... Just get into God's Word. Just read it. So you can measure how much you adore God's Word by getting into it, by reading it. Number two, spend money for it. Now we are so stinking spoiled. In past generations, to have a copy of God's Word like we were able to get Rita would take the entire village, all of our pooled money, for a year to get one copy, handwritten, of God's Word. We are so fortunate. And yet, for a lot of us, we don't have a good translation in hand. We don't have a good study mode. Spend some money for it. Put some time and some money into it and research out God's Word. How much do you talk about God's Word? When you get together with somebody, even in church, do they hear from you how excited you are about God's Word? Talk about it a lot. Spend some time memorizing it. You know, I'm tickled by these little kids. They'll tell me, "Oh, I can't memorize. It's not for me." And even parents will say, "Yeah, John, little boy, he can't memorize." And then I start hearing them talk about the video game. Oh yeah, when you get to that level, you got to do this, and you got to do this. And they memorize the entire video game from beginning to end. And they go, yeah, right. You can't memorize it. Mm-hmm. It's usually a matter of priority, not a matter of ability. Did I miss one there? Make personal sacrifices for it. Inspire. Oh yeah, here we go. Something happened there. Memorize it. Be inspired to express it in creative ways. Kind of like when Adam was so excited when Eve showed up. He said, "She is bone of my bone and flesh of my..." He starts a poem right there because he's just so inspired by the event. How creative are you with God's Word in your life? Is it that resonating, and do you adore it that much? Do you make personal sacrifices? A lot like the spending money on it, but it's more than just that. denying yourself for the good of others and getting God's word into it. And of course, live it. And that's what we're talking about the most today, spending some time living God's word. Third thing, we got to hurry here, applying it. So accepting it, first of all, adoring it, that's our heart's affection. The third one is making application of God's word. This is when you read God's word and you say, how does that verse have any bearing on my life? How does that passage of scripture or that example or that pattern have an application for me? That's applying God's word. It takes some brain work. It takes some energy. It takes some effort to specifically let God show you applications where he would put God's word into practice. Notice the words apply here. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and look at, and apply your heart to my knowledge. What's that mean? Apply your heart. Make an application. You see, there's not always a direct correspondence between the example and where you're at. Sometimes, in fact, this is the case, most of the examples you see in the Old Testament are bad examples that you don't want to follow. There actually are literally few good examples. You say, I want to do that. More often than not, you say, I don't want to do that. I want to learn from another person's mistakes so I don't have to keep making them. Apply your heart to knowledge. Apply your heart to instruction and your ear to wisdom and knowledge. I mean, look at that passage from Deuteronomy where it says, teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. This is like everyday application where you say, here's how God's word applies to everyday life. Now, that's what he's interested in. It's not just, well, I did my duty. I read my Bible. Next thing, check. No, it's more, sift it through your heart. Sift it through your life and say, how does that apply to my relationships? To my work life, to my finances, to all those aspects. The wise student of Proverbs applies the instruction to daily life. The learner so coats their life with godly instruction that they achieve the goal of the instruction and realize its promise and its blessing. When the another culture were trying to translate the word believe, you know, they didn't have a word for believe in this one culture. And so they try to figure out, what word do I use for believe when I translate the word of God into their language? And finally, working with one of the chiefs, they kind of use the word sits on or leans on as their word for belief. And it was kind of like when you sit on a chair, you put all your weight on that chair, you trust in the chair. And so they began to use the word lean or sit. Now, it wouldn't make as much sense to us, you know, if we were like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever sits on him might not perish but have everlasting life. But it made sense to them. Whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And in a way, that's the idea when we're talking about making application. What is it that translates into our language and our culture and brings it down to a thought that we can all utilize in an everyday way? Last thing, axon. Not wax on, axon. Wax on, wax off. No, this is when you put it into practice. See, application is deciding places where it's to be acted on. But that doesn't stop there. Just hearing God's word, accepting it into your life, and adoring God's word, having a relationship of affection with God's word, that's only half. Even making application and saying, here's where it needs to be applied in my life, that's only the third of the four steps. The fourth and most important step is when you say, I am going to put it into practice. Now that I know what to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to act on this. For some of you, this is a favorite verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean. Hey, that's kind of like sits. You know, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Look at those key verbs. Leaning, turning, trusting. To him who lacks sense, she says, come and eat from the bread and drink from the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Turn it into habits in your life. Don't just think, how does it apply, but say, I want this to be my everyday reaction. What if you say, you know, I want to be sweet under all conditions. Now that's a habit we ought to all have, right? Yeah. Do not set foot in the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evildoer. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your way. One last one to think about here is that we would be disciples as lifelong learners. Jesus said it this way: when a disciple is fully taught, he is like his teacher. And that's our goal as believers. It's not to fill our head with knowledge. It's not to be smarter than the next guy. Wisdom is actually living out the Christ-likeness. When a disciple, a learner, is fully taught, has wisdom, he will be like his teacher. That's why Jesus said, come, learn from me. Come, follow me. And eventually, you know what he said. Come and die with me. We join him in the mission. Let's stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, you are such a good and gracious God. You give us warning after warning. You encourage us, you challenge us, you teach us. And we just today want to tell you that we want to be accepting your instruction. We want to be adoring your instruction. Lord, we want to be applying and acting it out in our lives. Thank you for the challenge that you give us. May we, as a body of believers, help one another with this very aspect, being learners for life. Would you make us a group of disciples that has no end to what you have planned, that you instead will use us, pour more and more of your grace in our midst, bring more and more boys and girls and men and women to know you, to be loved to you. That's our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.